Hey, it's great to be together. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to church service. Welcome online. We are starting a series here on the parables. We're talking about our theme this year is growth. And so we want to grow deeper in our relationship with God. We want to grow wider in our capacity for those around us and all the ways that we can serve our community. And of course, we want to grow numerically as a church as well in 2024. There's just lots of times to grow. I don't want to grow this way personally. I do want to lose some of this in 2024, but I believe that this will be a great year of growth for us as a congregation. Of course, we're doing some really cool things. We're launching the St. Charles Ministry. We do believe that we can get bigger by getting smaller, amen, that we don't have to build this gigantic place where everyone comes in. And we really want everyone to always feel like you're part of a family where everyone kind of knows your name, amen? And so hopefully you get that sense this morning. Hopefully someone, if you're new here, hopefully you were hugged by someone and it made you feel a little comfortable or maybe a little uncomfortable. I'm sorry about that. But hopefully you know that we are a family. We're just a big family and we're very diverse group. I mean, we are quite the amalgamation here. We've got a lot going on here. There's a lot of different people. We got some really cool people and some not so cool people. We got some really white people. We got some really black people. We got some really Hispanic people. We got some mixed people. We got people that don't know what they are, who they are. That's okay. It's all good. We're just a family, amen. And we just hope to keep growing and growing. And the great thing is that I love is that as we grow, I pray that we bring in more different people, more diverse people. I love it, okay? It creates a little awkwardness, you know, it makes it a little weird, you know, because if you're used to going to that church where everyone's like you and they're from your same socioeconomic background or whatnot in the same neighborhood, well, that's not us, amen? We're from all over the metro area. And I like that, amen? Again, it makes it a little funky, trust me, okay? There's moments when we have to work out stuff, you know what I mean? Why'd he say it that way, you know? I don't know why, that's the way he grew up, you know? But hey, we're working toward Jesus, amen? And so this week, I get to kick this off. And so before we start on some of these parables, this is a very short parable here that we're going to talk about this morning. It's in Matthew chapter 5, and it's this salt of the earth, verse 13. It says, but if the salt loses its taste, it says, you are the salt of the earth, okay? But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. Really kind of powerful short pass. Today I'm doing the salt of the earth. Next week for International Sunday, Bill will be doing the light of the world. And so I'm going to talk about this idea of being the salt of the earth. Salt. Salt. Imagine a world without salt. Where flavors fade, wounds fester, preservation fails. Salt isn't just a humble mineral. It's sort of the unsung hero in human history. Silently shaping civilizations, enriching cuisines, and even healing wounds. It signifies and echoes in our biblical lives too. Salt symbolizes healing and preservation and the flavor we bring to the world as disciples of Jesus Christ. Amen. From ancient rituals of salt baths to modern marvels of salt baths. I don't know, you know. Salt reminds us of our mission. To be the salt of the earth. And of course, to bring that light and that flavor into a world that needs it so much. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you. You said to us that we are the salt of the earth. And I believe that that's very intentional that you say that. And it's kind of miraculous in a lot of ways to just sort of see the thread of salt throughout the word, to see that you required it in every grain offering. One thing consistent in those offerings was salt. To see just how salt even just kind of was a pledge of a covenant between, certainly between you and us, but even between people. Over time, it's had such great impact. And Father, how our bodies needed today so much. And Father, how some ways, God, there even just some maybe medical sort of proof perhaps that maybe some of us don't have enough salt in our bodies. But God, I pray that, Father, whether that's the case or not, God, help us to better understand and to grasp this idea that we are the salt of the earth. That's important, God. We want to grow deeper around that sort of idea that we're the salt of the earth. And Father God, the salt of the earth is that we spread this flavor everywhere we go. We do change things, and that is a bit of a responsibility we have. God, help us to be bold and help us to be courageous. And God, I know that we're fearful. God, we're challenged with that, God. That's a tough challenge for some of us to think about being the salt of the earth. What does that mean? It conjures up a lot of ideas for us. God, I pray that we can settle our hearts down right now and settle our minds down, Father. We'll embrace, Jesus, what you called us, what you commissioned us to be. We love you, Jesus. We thank you. Thank you for leaving us with your spirit. That certainly helps and aids us. I pray that we can get peace in this moment as we dive into your word. And as always, comfort those of us that need to be comforted. And God, if we need to be made uncomfortable this morning, well, thank you in advance, Jesus, for making us uncomfortable. So in your name we pray. Amen. Matthew chapter 5. So I've done a few lessons over the years on the salt of the earth, and one of the sermons was called "Those Salty Christians," you know. And this time I was very kind of I was inspired, and so I went down this rabbit hole of salt. And I'm going to tell you, I had to crawl myself out of there, man. I was deep off into some research and study on salt, and I just go, okay, I got to get out of this. I got to finish this sermon, you know? So I could be up here for an hour and a half talking about salt today, but I'm not going to go there. Today we're just going to kind of dive into this passage here. We're going to start at chapter 5 in verse 1, and we're going to read just sort of a little bit of the context going into verses 13, all right? This is Jesus from the mountain. Sermon on the Mount. Now Jesus saw the crowds. He went up. When Jesus saw the crowd, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him and he began to teach them. He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot." And the church said, amen. 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 There are four things we'll talk about here, and I think that are important for us to remember. And we could talk a great deal about salt today, But there's at least four things that I think I hope we can gain from this. And first is this: salt should describe the disciples' character. In fact, I'll go to the next slide. I'll just kind of all disciples' character, disciples' place, disciples' mission, and disciples' danger. The first is the disciples' character. You know, our character really should be one that is, well, it should be salty. We should have salty characters. We should. Now, maybe when you first hear that, you kind of think, okay, well, I got to go around and start a bunch of fights. I got to generate a lot of conflict. Well, salt is distinct. It is totally different from the food or the object upon which it is put. Salt is distinctive. That's the first thing we need to be willing to be if we are the salt of the world. We've got to realize that we are distinctive. We are different. We are holy. We worship a holy God, and we are distinct. Not better than, just distinct. Amen. We are to be distinctive. We should stand out in the world. There really needs to be something different about us. It should be something that's very different. I think sometimes it's very difficult to be the salt of the world because, to be honest with you, I just want to fit in. I don't want to stand out too much. I mean, I spend a lot of time trying to figure out what the latest thing is so that I don't stand out. I mean, I don't want to wear my old jeans and my old shirt, and I want to look like everyone else. I mean, I know there's a few of us, we just like being different. We got those people in the church as well, amen? Praise God for them. Some are different in good ways, some different in whatever ways, amen? But salt is distinctive. It's different. The power of our lives and our testimony lies in our being different, being distinctive, standing out a little bit. That is such an incredible characteristic of a disciple of Jesus. Salt also preserves, it keeps things from going bad. It keeps things from decaying, right? It cleanses, it disinfects. You know, I remember when I was a kid that we used a lot of salt. We didn't have very much. And I know modern medicine's come a long way. But there still may not be anything better for a sore throat than what? Gargling some salt water, amen? You can go out to the store, and I'm sure there's doctors in the room going to shut your mouth. You don't know what you're talking about. I'm sorry, okay? But I mean, if you gargle some salt water, it will disinfect, right? It's pretty amazing. But that's what we should be. We should be preserving the good. We should be preserving all things that are good around us. That's what we are called to be as the salt of the earth. We are preserving what's good, pointing out the things that are good. We are not by nature. We're not supposed to be, as Christians, the people that are going around finding all the fault and the bad. Amen? We need to be those people. We preserve what is good. We want to disinfect and make things better. How are we doing it, that Christians? Are we really preserving the good? Of course, in our own lives first and foremost, but then of everyone around us, are people able to say, that guy preserves good? Everything he touches, everywhere he goes, there's a sense of something good about him. Our testimony, it should cause the infection to go away. We should be able to just kind of speak words into people's lives, and in that moment, even that whatever they're going through, it should be able to just kind of help to ease some of the pain. We should be able to disinfect. Salt also enhances flavor, right? It makes food better. It's one of those sort of five, you know, kind of necessary, I guess, flavors that we have, right? I guess there's sweetness, savor, sour, bitterness, and salt, right? Those are things but we should be able to flavor the things around us. We should be like in this big old crock pot of humanity. Just a little sprinkle of you can make it all better. We don't often feel that way, right? We kind of also feel a little bit like, you know, we're in a pot and we're kind of getting, but the salt, you make it all better. Just a little sprinkle of you, you go a long way, much farther than you think. Don't sell yourself short, amen? You are the salt of the earth. We make things better. We enhance the flavor of life. This is good. You should be able to walk around a little bit like your dad owns the place. I make things, not prideful, you know. Not a big limp when you walk, you know what I mean? But just sort of a little limp, you know? You know what I mean? But yeah, you want to make things better. I'm telling you, wherever you go, any job you take as disciples, you're the best employee. You are. You're the most honest person there. You're going to work the hardest. You're not going to lie. You're not going to cheat. You're the best employee, which is why you should have no problem going to your boss and saying, I got to go to church on Sunday. Otherwise, I'll just be a crook and I'll just rob this place and I'll blow it up. And trust me, you need me in church on Sunday morning. I need to be with God's people. I'm a mess without God's people. You can come too if you want. You know what I mean? You should have no problem with that. Some of us is like, I don't know, I ain't keep my job. You're the best employee at your job, trust me. You may not know the most, okay, but you're still the best, okay? You are the best. You're making everything better at your job. God's looking with flavor at your workplace because of you. Just a little dash of you. You make things better, amen? Salt flavors everything. Salt also penetrates, doesn't it? Salt makes it sort of a new quality, kind of a new substance. It changes everything upon which it is put. But here's the other thing salt is. Salt is kind of quiet. It is. Salt has a low key, salt's just not like, it's not bold, it just sort of has a low key way of changing things. It doesn't need to be loud and obnoxious and out front. It doesn't need to overpower anything. Anyone like anything too salty? No, right? 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 4. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 3. And then verse 4. See if I can get there quicker than the guy And he gives me a thumb up, too. Your beauty should not come from outward adornment, such as elaborate hairstyles and the wearing of gold jewelry and fine clothes. Rather, it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. This is the way the holy women of the past, but I believe in be godly people of the past. This is the way they adorned themselves. They submitted themselves to their own husband. But listen, we are in submission to Jesus Christ. Amen? I know what this passage is about. But I think we as Christians, we should live sort of these quiet lives to some degree. We shouldn't be the most outrageous, obnoxious people. We shouldn't be the people that are stirring up the most trouble and causing the most problems. There's a way for us to have profound and powerful and yet quiet impact. This is, I believe, a characteristic. You know what Jesus says beforehand? He said, blessed are the peacemakers. Look at me going King James. Blessed. Blessed, you know. Did you notice I caught myself halfway through that? I was blessed, you know. Blessed, you know, or peacemakers. We should be the peacemakers. I appreciate the communion today. Disciples, we should be peacemakers. It's hard to give or to be what you don't possess. If we don't have any peace, then we certainly don't bring peace into our workplaces and into our communities, into our homes. I know you think, you know, people make, no, it's coming from within. It's coming from within. Quit blaming the other person, okay? See, because the Bible says you're going to get persecuted. And I thought that only meant outside of the church, but sometimes it comes from within the church. You with me? So when it comes, will you be a peacemaker? Or will you be just some entitled, like, oh, I don't deserve this. I'm taking it all down. So you need to go to church. Tell your boss, when you start getting that way, tell your boss, I need a day off so I can go be with Jesus. Amen? Because I want to be a peacemaker. I want to be that person that is, I quietly go around, I have these very crucial conversations with people, but I am a peacemaker. I am someone that is merciful in heart. The merciful will receive mercy. That's who we need to be. Isn't that a beautiful thing to be? That is our character. We have the character of mercy. Where all the world around us is saying, crucify them. Crucify him. Whoever him might be. Whoever they might be, we're going, mercy, have mercy on this soul, God. Because we want to be people of peace. That is our character. Is that not? Is that not who Jesus was? I mean, who was more perfect than Jesus? What was Jesus doing? Was he the one yelling, crucify them, or the one that goes, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do? That's the one we follow. You got to ask yourself, in your general posture, am I more like the crowd going, crucify? Crucify them, whoever he might be. Or she might be, whatever they've done. Or am I the one going, mercy, God? Show mercy, God. That is the character, I believe, of the salt of the earth. Salt is irrepressible. You can't stop salt from spreading. It spreads everywhere. It's like God's word. It will always go forth. It will not return void. Salt goes out and it will never return void. Even though people seem like they're not responding, you're being who you are called to be, the salt of the earth. And I'm telling you, it's leaving a lasting impact. You can't help it. You don't even know it. You don't even realize it. Steve Blassingame had no idea when he left that job that people would go, listen, a little salt here. Where's the salty guy? Y'all know Steve is salty, don't you? Like, we're missing the salt around here. We want some of that salt back. So they're calling him. They miss him. They miss Salty Steve. Steve has moved on to spread his salt elsewhere. But they miss him. That's who you are. When you leave your jobs, the people will be like, man, we're missing something here. Something died a little bit. Maybe we should close the doors of this business. If Brendan Caprio left St. Luke's right now, they should just shut down. They should just close down St. Luke's, send their patients elsewhere. It just wouldn't be the same without Brendan being there. We are the salt of the earth. Good bro, that's a long point. What are you going to do? Well, you know, every good priest, you know, long part of second, third, and fourth will be much shorter. Amen. Let's get on, okay? The disciples' place to salt is the earth. Amen. This is where God has placed us. We're here. We're here in this rather bland and tasteless place. It's decaying. It's rotting. It's corrupting. It's even foul. And we live here to minister. We're here. That is the only reason you still exist. That's why when you got out of baptism, God didn't just take you away. You're here on this earth to be the salt of the earth. That's the only reason I'm here. I'm here for nothing else. Trust me, when it's all said and done, God's going to be like, now, how many sermons did you preach? And how many surgeries did you do, Brendan? Now, God, that's not going to matter. Did you accomplish the mission that you were here for? Our place is the earth. And I know that, you know, I used to love these old songs, this world is not my home. I was coming in today and I was singing, this world is not my home. I'm just passing through. And the angels, they're beckoning me. Come on home, Vince. Come on home. And there are days when I'm just like, can you just take me, Lord, you know? Yeah, I feel that way sometimes. But I know my kids will miss me, maybe. Robin's still young. She'll find a better husband, I'm sure. But our place is here on earth, and there is a lot of work to do. We have to be sobered about where we're at. Sobered about where we are. Sobered about the condition of the world around us. We got to be able to look around us and open our eyes and see what is ahead of us. Too much salt is being stored and locked up in the church. It's too much. We're holding on to too much salt. And sometimes I even think we got to check our heart. Or we just want to go deeper. We just want to learn more. You know, I just want to be kind of learning all the time. And like, when are you going to start telling other people about even the little stuff you got? I just want to be constantly in consumption mode. Give me more. More, you know. Okay. We'll keep cranking you with more information and giving you great history. But at some point, there's a few basic things that you can actually, yeah, the world needs you, okay? The earth needs you. Your workplace needs you, amen? You are needed now more than ever. While on this earth, we're called to be that salt, that flavor to the earth, not to heaven. We're here. We got to bloom right where we're planted, amen? We got to send out that salt to the marketplace. We got to redistribute it. It is needed more than ever. People are thirsty. You know the story of the Samaritan woman at the well in John 4. She said, give me this water to drink so that I won't have to keep coming here. And Jesus says, I am the living water. The world is thirsty. Thirsty, y'all. Amen? And our mission is to salt the earth. That's why we're here. The salt of the earth. We're not the salt of heaven, we're the salt of the earth, amen? We can't do anything to salt heaven, amen? But we can do everything to salt the earth. Any relationship that people have with you, it is there for a reason. That neighbor of yours, you're there for a reason. That coworker of yours is there for a reason. You are there, you're on a mission. You can't help it. I'm on a mission from God. You're on a mission. We're on a mission, brothers and sisters. I just want to encourage us. I'm hoping that this year in 2024, and listen, there's been a lot of chaos and a lot of things that have been distracting, and our church has been through a lot. I say we. In the last 7 to 8 years, maybe the last 30 years for some of you, we've gone through a lot, but in the last 7, 8 years, we've had a lot of transition. You hosted an amazing event that took some life out of some of you, that conference. Thank you for hosting that. You know, and I've said this many of other times. I go around now, and people now accidentally refer to every conference as Reach. You know what I mean? But I know that took a lot out of us. There's a lot of work that went into that planning this great event. And so maybe that year we weren't as quite mission-minded as we needed to be. And then, of course, we had a lot of transition that happened after that. And every transition takes a little bit of adjusting. That's what transition does. We're adjusting. We're changing. You know how it is. You get any kind of transition, a new teammate, a new co-worker, a new manager, or a new employee, whatever it is, that transition, it takes a little time. And so the church went through a few years of transition. So I think we can be safe to say that maybe we haven't been quite as mission-minded. I mean, we. If you're feeling like, bro, I've been on the mission. Oh, amen. Praise God. I'm not talking to you, okay? But maybe we collectively, maybe we haven't been quite as mission focused as we can be. But we can get that back because we realize we want to be on a mission from God because we are the salt of the earth. Amen? Did I mention that? We're the salt of the earth. We must spread out into the world. We must share. We must penetrate. We must flavor the world around us. It needs us now more than ever. When Jesus sent out the disciples in Luke 9 and 10, He sent them out, and he sent them out with all of his power. He says, I want you to heal the sick. I want you to do all of these things. I want you to be a source of healing, a source of flavor, and I want you to accept the hospitality and reciprocate that hospitality wherever you go. But you are, he was saying to them, he was repeating, he was showing them what he said. I want to send you out, and I want you to do something amazing. But listen, not everyone's going to respond, and that's okay. Shake the dust off your feet, and then go on to the next co-worker, to the next neighbor. But God, it won't return void. God will have done something amazing. Are you with me? Yes. But the last point, we're at point number three now. Last point, we're disciples' mission. Our mission is to reach out, but the disciples are also in danger. There is a danger here. There's a danger of losing your saltiness. We don't want to lose our saltiness. There's a lot at risk. There's a danger. It says, boy, you know, don't lose your saltiness. It's no longer, it says, if we lose our saltiness, it can never be made salty again. It's good for nothing except being thrown out. Now, I don't want any of us to ever lose our saltiness. Amen. But I think we got to realize that the enemy is constantly trying to distract us and get us off track and make us anything but peacemakers, make us anything but merciful, make us anything but meek, make us anything but poor in spirit, make us proud in spirit, and make us think maybe if we got a little money in our pocket, then we're okay. But that is not what Jesus said. He wants us to realize that, hey, there's a lot at stake here. But it's not only at stake in your life, but it's also what's at stake for the world around us. If we lose our saltiness, we also can become destructive. We can become very damaging. We actually can hurt those around us. Well, we're supposed to be an example, supposed to be a light. We've now become critics, negative, frustrated, angry. We're not walking around with that joy. We're walking around constantly, honestly, looking a little bit like the world, having the same conversation they had. I mean, if they're bitter about the upcoming election, then we're bitter about it. What's wrong with Biden and Trump? I mean, we're having the same kind of and you know it's all nonsense, right? I'll let you on a little secret. It's all nonsense, amen? We already have a king, amen? But I mean, we begin to look like them, and we begin to argue and fuss and fight about the things they're fighting about. And then we begin to fight inside of the church as well. Because when fishermen aren't fishing, they will fight. But if we're out doing what we're supposed to be doing, then man, that's pretty amazing. We're unified in a great way. Something amazing happens that doesn't just happen when we're just sitting in the pews listening and learning and taking notes. That's all good. But you better take the Lord with you everywhere you go and all the time, church. Amen? So what if there was no salt in the world? What if there was no salt? Imagine how dull and boring and pathetic of a world we'd live in. A place where flavor fades, where wounds just fester, where preservation fails. Salt, like us, salt is just not a humble mineral. Like us, we are the unsung heroes of human history, silently shaping everywhere we go, enriching everything we touch, even healing wounds. We are we join that biblical narrative of a God who so loved the world that his mission was to do nothing but save it. So loved the world that he died for it. We join that biblical narrative. We are part of that mission of a very intentional and a very missional God who gave us Jesus, said, you are the salt of the earth. God bless.